morning, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Today, we're going to be talking about a very unique topic, which we haven't mentioned in the past, but maybe we have in some venues we've spoken about it. It's about Buddha master relics, all from India, Tibet, and China. And you say, why? What are we talking about today? What we're going to talk about is Buddhists and the Buddhist masters. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I think that was a New Age thing. You know, I'm almost 60. So we all think, it's New Age stuff. I'm not quite up on it. But really, it's all about the awakening, the spirituality of the world. And it's really just something else to say, hey, I want to go see what's up. And what we're talking about is the event in Sedona, Arizona, this coming weekend, December 12th and 13th, at the Yavapai College Sedona campus. And it's going to be an exhibit of the Buddha and other master relics from India, Tibet, and China. Today my guest is Daniel Harner. He is of Health and Healing Clinic in Sedona, and he's going to be sharing about the event, because we're here trying to bring a little more awareness so you'll be able to find out more information and say, hey, I might want to go there this weekend because, hey, it's free. Show up and say, oh, gosh, such an experience, and I'm really just looking forward to it. So, Daniel, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Dr. Jeanette, it's an honor to be on your show today.
So, Daniel, this is definitely a concept some people may know quite well what we're speaking, and some may not know at all. Can you share a little bit what it means? What is Buddhism, or what is like a Buddhist master? What is that really all about? And that word, Buddha, people say, gosh, you know, some people may have talked about it in the past, but I didn't know anything about it, so I kind of shied away from it. So let's shine a little light on it and say you don't have to shy away from it.
Right. Well, I'd first like to start by letting you know that the show in Sedona that's hosted, the Maitreya Relic Tour, was founded by Lama Sopa Rinpoche. And he's the spiritual director of the Maitreya Loving Kindness Tour. And Lama Sopa Rinpoche collected the sacred relics of the Buddha and the other Buddhist masters for many years. So in addition to that, he was also able to obtain the relics from, 8 relics from the Dalai Lama, actually, that contained the relics from Buddha Shakyamuni, the historic Buddha. So that relic tour was founded in 2001. That's when Lama Sopa Rinpoche started it. And so it's a very, very special collection. It's the largest relic collection containing Buddhist masters in the world. So that's about the tour.
So the tour started in 2001 and it's just ending now?
Tour started in 2001. And the tour visited 68 countries, and about 2.3 million people have visited the relics. And
wow.
The tour has been around for 15 years, started in 2001. And we've had about the Maitreya Relic Project had about, 886 events in Europe, Asia, and the Americas. So now, in this week, upcoming weekend, December 12th and 13th, it's going to be the last and final event of the tour, because the intention of Lama Sopa Rinpoche since the beginning was to have the relics be placed in statues in the north of India. So the relics have been touring for 15 years, and now it's actually coming to a close. The relics will be enshrined in the statues in the north of India very soon. So that's why I think it's really important to make people aware that it's the last time you can actually see the relics on tour. If you want to see them after that, you'll have to travel to India to see them.
So some people would say, I'm not a Buddhist, I don't know much about it, why would I come to the event? And I think it's really more about being in the presence of something other than yourself and learning a little bit and just experiencing and have an observation. What are your thoughts?
Yes. So I think the presence of the relics is very powerful. And especially mm-hmm. in the times we live in these days, you know, the evidence
right.
by conflict, separation, discord. I think everybody who would walk into the room where the relics are showcased would feel a pretty strong, powerful, loving energy. And I think
mm-hmm.
That energy, some people call it loving kindness, others call it compassion or patience. That energy, it really has no... It really doesn't belong anywhere. It doesn't belong to Buddhism. It doesn't belong to Christianity. It doesn't belong to any other religion. It's a quality that's arising out of something that's higher, you know, something, a source energy
uh-huh.
that embodies, and the relics happen to embody this loving kindness energy very strongly, very powerfully. So I would say whether you are a Buddhist or a Christian, it is of no concern, and the presence of the relics are going
right.
to impact any person that comes. So it's a non-denominational event. And one other thing I'd like to add is,
uh-huh.
one other thing
no,
I'd like
go ahead.
To add is that the Dalai Lama, I think, was believed to say too that I know Buddhism is not my religion. Loving kindness is my religion. So I think that it goes
right.
along, I think, pretty well with what the relics represent. Yeah.
Yeah, I think sometimes when people go into what they quote and classify as a religion, they say.
Yeah.
that they kind of buy into that and believe all of the factors of it, when really what we're talking about is not, quote, a religion. What we're talking about is just an experience, just as you said, to be in the presence of, you know, that source energy on this show before. And it's just, you know, and people say, well, I don't know what that means. And I like to liken it, and its simplest form is, when you go into the room and a person is passing, you can feel the energy in the room. When you go into a room when a person is born, a baby, you can feel the energy in the room. So those are two types of us as humans sensing energy. Now let's take that to the other end and say, when you're in the presence of these relics or a person that's very... of like mind and heart, we like to say. We also like to say, you know, just of sheer kindness, you know, like when people used to see Mother Teresa or they may have seen the Pope. These are just in that sense of they are the container with that energy, and everybody seems to feel it around them. So that's really what we're talking about here also.
Right.
Right? So...
Mm-hmm, absolutely. The Buddhist masters who are showcased in that event, you know, it's about 44 different masters from India, Tibet, and China. And these masters have devoted their lives to perfecting certain qualities, you know, they've perfected mm-hmm. qualities of kindness, compassion, and love. And out of their devotion, they were able to leave relics behind after their body decayed. So the relics are actually remainders of the cremation ashes. So when you look through cremation ashes, you find some little pearl-like crystals. And in Tibetan, they're also called ringsil. And they, for some reason, carry the information and the subtle energy that was present when the person was alive. So it's quite unique. In a sense, they're still alive. You know, they still transmit the presence to the same degree as if you're sitting with the Buddha. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. over 2,500 years ago. So it's very, very, very interesting.
Is it potentially when you're also in that space that you're calling forth that energy to be around you? In other words, sometimes people can go into exhibits or museums or events and they say, well, I didn't really feel anything. And they may have been a person who wasn't able to be open to that. And I think you really need to go in and with the decision that you're going to be open to experience and open to sensing and open to feeling when you attend these events, correct?
Yes, I mean, I think there are people who go in there with an open mind and they receive sometimes what they're expecting, and sometimes it's very subtle and they don't notice anything. And I also think there are people who are not expecting anything and maybe quite close off and then have a quite extraordinary experience. Mm-hmm. So it is a very miraculous presence. So anything you do and think in the presence of these relics will be magnifying your acts, you know, whether they're prayers or whether it's meditation or contemplation. Anything you do while in the presence of the relics, anything will be magnified. So, and if I may, I'd like to give you a little piece of information about something that Professor Tiller from Stanford University has done.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Dr. Tiller is a professor, was a professor at Stanford University, and he was quite interested in the Buddha relics. And what he found was when he put an intention out to the universe in the presence of the relics, he found that he observed some quite profound changes in pH changes in water. So he found that if the intention was put out that the pH in water should increase over time, he found that the pH increased quite drastically in water in the presence of the relics. And that wouldn't have happened if it was if the relics wouldn't have been there. So Dr. Tiller was quite intrigued with those results. I think the pH changes were 2.5 units and over 2 months period of time. And if the listeners are interested in reading more about that, there's a white paper on that on his webpage. I think it's white paper 25. So
Is that not the similar concept to holy water?
Yes, it's similar.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's similar. It really shows you that the power of intention is astonishing, yeah? And especially in the presence of something of that high of a caliber like the Buddha relics, intentions are magnified. So equal changes in a material thing like water, where pH change goes up so drastically, it's quite an amazing observation one can make. So I would encourage people who come to the relics to try that out, you know, and try to put their wishes and their intentions, their loving thoughts, their prayers for other people, their prayers for themselves, their pets, anything. I'd invite people to do it and see what happens.
So how many relics are there, and how expansive is the exhibit? Is this something I'm going in and I'll just pass through in 5 minutes, or do I come and do I spend an amount of time there? What is it like?
You'll go there and you probably see a line of people lining up to enter the room. There will be about, I think, 1,000 relics in the collection. And that's a lot. And the event is free of charge. Mm-hmm. Donations will be appreciated. Event has always been free for the past 15 years. But the donations who are given will be used for the statue, I believe, and that is going to be built in India. So this is a very rare occasion. 44 Buddhist masters, including the historical Buddha Shakyamuni. It's a free event. Blessings will be given. So if there will be a line where people can line up, and the relics of the Buddha Shakyamuni, who are in a little vessel, will be placed on your head if you wish. Which I recommend if you go there. It's a very powerful experience to have that done. Yeah.
Do people bring their own things to be blessed, or is there stuff there that they could purchase to be blessed and they would have something to take away?
You mean if you bring an object that you'd like to be blessed, if that's a possibility? Yes, I believe so. You could bring, let's say, a rosary or a mala, or anything like that, and they could put the Shakyamuni relics on top of that. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Will there be anything for purchase there, in case they don't have anything with them?
Yes, there will be a little stand there where you can purchase little items like statues or chains or pictures, posters. So there will be a little gift shop where you can buy things. Yes, and there will be a little room where you can view a film, and that will give you a little more background on the Maitreya project. And it will also give you some first-person experience testimonials from people, where people say how it's impacted them, what miraculous things they have witnessed in the presence of the relics. So there will be a separate room where a film will be viewed, I believe. So, and I believe that film will also be available for purchase as well.
So if you said there's over 1,000 relics, of what origin are some of them? Like, what are they like? Can you share a little bit about what a few of the relics would be?
You mean what masters they were, or you mean where which country they came from, or?
Yeah, just when someone says 1,000 relics, they say, does that mean it's going to be beads or ashes, or is it clothing, or is it,
Yes. Well, it's all in all, I believe it's 44 masters. When it says 1,000 relics, it means that in each vessel that represents a master, there's little pieces in there. And for most of them, it's like little pearl-like crystals. They almost look like little multicolored pearls. It reminds me a little bit of Christian frankincense. So there's little pearls in each of these vessels. Most of the relics that are exhibited are pearl-like looking. However, there are also, I believe, a few bones, a few hair relics, and I think also a few blood relics there as well. So it's a mixture of different things. Yeah.
That sounds very unique, and I think it's something definitely to look into if you are in the Sedona area, or if you're able to get to Sedona this coming weekend, which is December 12th and 13th at the Yavapai College Sedona campus. And don't worry, if you get into Sedona, you ask anyone, you'll be able to find it pretty easily. Sedona is a very small town, and everybody knows everything about everything, and they'll be very happy to direct you where you needed to go. Can you share a little bit? So the name of it is called the Loving Kindness Tour. What do you mean by loving kindness? I think there's so many people these days that say loving and kindness, man, that word's getting too overused, you know, and I don't think it's used enough. What do you think?
Well, I believe loving kindness is just a word, you know, but what's behind the word loving kindness is a powerful energy. And so I say loving kindness, or call it compassion, loving kindness, or love, just simply love, I think is the most powerful transformational healing force on the planet. So yes, the word might be overused, and yes, it might have connotations that are actually not representing the quality behind it that much anymore.
Right.
But I would say the quality itself, without the stigma or the word or the overuse of the word attached to it, is going to be timeless, and it's going to be transformational for centuries and for centuries to come. So loving kindness, you know, if it's overused, yes, then just forget about the word, but the quality behind it is powerful. It's going to change you if you are open to it.
I think sometimes there's so much judgment, and there's so much what people think that they want to get out of things, versus thinking about the whole. You know, there's a whole lot of I's, you know, the letter I still, you know, that the world is still about I. And I think events like this are really something that will start to eventually, as I call, turn the pebbles in the road. You know, we really need to keep turning the pebbles in the road these days, because that's really the way we're going, and there is no turning back. And I think that's important to realize. There is no turning back. So we're really learning that the world is much bigger out there. It's not just about you and your stuff, right?
No, you're definitely right. And I think if you go to the relics, if you experience that presence of love, it's going to rattle your cage a little bit, and where you think, I'm separate, or it's all about me, or me,
yeah.
And me, myself, and I. It's going to kick you out of your little box for a little while. And actually, it's quite a relief. You're going to find you breathe easier, and you find you're going to be happier, and it's everything is going to look a little nicer. So, yeah.
Yeah, that concept that what you have to have or we have to go get, you know, that idea of more is always better or how high can you rise is really changed quite a bit. I think so many people have been knocked off of that pedestal and now they are floundering, not able to figure out how to get back up there where they used to be. But really what they're not seeing is that maybe what they should be looking at is something, a building of something of where they are rather than where they always have to go to, don't you think?
That's very well put, yes. It's good to remember where you are rather than being always caught up in the future or the past or in some other area where you're not. I mean, where you are is in the here and now, and these relics will put you right into the here and now and will make you very aware how limited the egocentric worldview is, and that there's an alternative to it that's much more peaceful and joyful. So, no, I like what you said. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, because so many people are struggling because they feel less than these days, you know, that they think they're less than because they don't have the big house anymore or they don't have the huge job anymore or all of their friends have gone away. You know, or their family has drifted away, when really, if we look at it, that which doesn't serve us anymore will be able to eventually move away from us if we start feeling, you know, better. And I think so many look at that in a negative way, and I really would like to shine a light on it that that's a positive aspect of growing in life. It's not a negative aspect of growing in life, right?
Yeah, I mean, the impermanence is the only constant in the universe, somebody said one time. So, and one can see that as, the glass is half full, everything's been taken away from me, and everything is changing all the time, and from that sort of viewpoint, or you can look at it and say, you know, impermanence and things changing, it's actually a good thing, because it reminds me of the one thing that doesn't change, and that is really the source energy inside, you know, happiness inside, the peace, and the love inside. That's that grounding presence that people can use if they feel disoriented in those times of change. So always coming back to that quality is the perfect recipe for finding oneself. And coming to the relics, for example, would be a great thing because, this is really regrounding you. It's going to really show you, put things in perspective for you again. So, yes.
Oh, Daniel, I really think that it would be a wonderful event. I wish I was closer. Of course, I'm not. So I do hope that all of my friends and all of the listeners on Sedona Talk Radio and on Blog Talk Radio are able to go and to see the relics before they move on. And again, Daniel, could you share again about the event this weekend? That would be wonderful.
So the event will be December 12th and 13th in Sedona, Arizona. It will be hosted at the Yavapai College Sedona Center for Arts and Technology. The address of that facility is 4215 Arts Village Drive. And the event is not sponsored or endorsed by Yavapai College. It's just our venue that we are using. And if the listeners are interested, I believe we also do have a live stream then that you can open at home if you're not able to come, and you can be part of the entire weekend in your living room if you'd like. So I can provide you with that information if you like. Yeah.
Yes,
and,
please.
Mm-hmm.
So how would they find out about the live stream?
I don't have the contact information for that, but I could give that to either you, or they could contact me directly if interested. So,
okay.
Would have to find out what the easiest way would be.
And how would they contact you?
You can contact me if you like, and my email address, first name Daniel dot last name Harner, Harner at gmail.com. So if you email me at that email address, I'll send you the live stream details.
Well, Daniel, it was a pleasure to have you with us today to share about this event coming up, because I think almost everyone in the area will probably eventually end up over there within 2 days. And I hope others come from outside the area, and we will get that link from you to add to today's show page about the live streaming. So just look on the bottom of today's show page, and we will have that link for you. So, Dan, it was a pleasure to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It was a pleasure being with you, Dr. Jeanette, and we are expecting a couple of thousand people on the weekend, so I'm really looking forward to it, and thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. If you'd like to find out more information about the event, it is December 12th and 13th, 2015, at the Yavapai College Sedona campus. Please do check on the bottom of today's show page for a link where you'll find out more information. I'd like to thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. If you'd like to find out more information about my services, please check my website at drjeanettegallagher.com for more information. Or you may also check out my other website, outoftheboxhealthcare.com. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to have you with us. And until tomorrow, have a great day.